That's just a beautiful song we just sang a minute ago. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. To me, that's just a joyful song. It's a beautiful song to think about the words therein. And today, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, the kind of Thanksgiving that leads to thanks living. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 15, Colossians 3, beginning in verse 15, our text for today says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Our purpose today in this lesson is to remind us as Christians the tremendous benefits of having a thankful heart. We need to realize today that an attitude of gratitude will enrich all of life. It's going to make our relationships right. It's going to make our attitude attractive. And having an attitude of gratitude will make life lovely. You know, Thanksgiving, I believe, is a holiday in which we are doubly blessed. I want you to think about it this morning from just a purely human standpoint. You know, we appreciate Thanksgiving because we get a couple of days off. We enjoy the opportunity that we have to spend with our family. And we have a socially acceptable excuse to eat a lot. And friends, that's a combination that I believe is hard to beat. But then consider it from a spiritual perspective. You know, Thanksgiving is also a blessing because it reminds us of one of the most pleasant duties in all the Bible, the command to give thanks to God for all the good things that we have received. It's always pleasant to count our blessings because in doing so, we are reminded of all the good in our life. We are reminded of the God who has gifted us so richly. We are reminded, as James 1 verse 17 says, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And it's impossible for a Christian to take a sustained inventory for all of which we have to be thankful without being moved to praise our great God. You know, the Bible has a great deal, in fact, to say about Thanksgiving. But it is the Apostle Paul who, more than any other individual, returns again and again to the subject of thankfulness and gratitude. In fact, that seems to be one of the major themes of Paul's writings. I'm not really sure why Paul was so fond of the topic of thanksgiving, but I suspect it has something to do with the circumstances of his conversion. You know, Paul was one of those people who have the experience of having had a dramatic change in his life. Paul was headed down the wrong road when God unexpectedly intervened, and as a result, Paul was given a second chance, a chance deep down he knew he did not deserve. Now, please don't get me wrong today. I realize that we're all sinners. I understand that none of us deserve to be saved. But I believe that Paul, and I believe that some people like him, have a strong sense of how their life could have turned out differently had they not found the Lord. And I believe that Paul was one of those fortunate Christians who never take their salvation for granted, who never quite get over the wonder of God's marvelous grace, and consequently, Paul was grateful for the rest of his life. Whatever the reason, we do know that Paul's letters, though, are punctuated with expressions of thankfulness and exhortations to be thankful. For example, we turn to this little book of Colossians, our setting for our lesson today. In just four chapters, Paul manages to speak of thanksgiving, joy, and gratitude 10 different times. In fact, Paul mentions this subject in every chapter. In chapter 1, Paul begins in verse 3 by thanking God for the faith and the love of the Colossian saints. You know, later in verse 12 of that same chapter, he encourages them to give thanks. But then notice in chapter 2 how Paul describes the Christian life beginning in verse 6. He says, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, you continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving." Later in chapter 4, Paul gives one final reminder in verse 2. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." And then in chapter 3, our text for today, Paul mentions thankfulness three times in three different verses. And each one of these verses reminds us of one of the benefits of thanksgiving. And we're going to notice three of those benefits for us today when we are truly thankful. I want us to see today that an attitude of gratitude is always good for us because, number one, it makes our relationships right. Look at verse 15. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." You know, for years I read this verse without really comprehending the significance of those last three words, "and be thankful." You know, I thought maybe those last three words were kind of tacked on. Maybe they were added for good measure, like when you're following a recipe for cookies or cake and it calls maybe for a pinch of salt. I really didn't understand the connection between thankfulness and Paul's subject here, but look at the connection here. Look at the context. In verses 12 through 14, Paul talks about our relationships and how we are to be kind and gentle and humble toward one another. We are to be forgiving of one another. In verse 15, the first part of that verse, he talks about the peace of God in your hearts. That's individual attitude. And the latter part of verse 15, he says we are members of one body. That is congregational harmony. And then one day it sort of hit me. Paul says here, "And be thankful," because an attitude of gratitude always creates harmony among brethren. That is, if I have peace within myself, then I will experience harmony with others. You see, thankfulness helps me to be content. Thankfulness helps me to be at peace, and that in turn enables me to get along better with other people. Whereas James 4 and verse 1 contrasts that spirit with an attitude of selfishness and self-centered that leads to strife and contention. You see, a grateful person is always a positive person. And a positive person is not looking for a fight. A positive person is not quarrelsome. They're not contentious. Ungrateful people, on the other hand, are always going to be dissatisfied with themselves. Ungrateful people are always going to be unhappy with others, and they're going to cause resentment wherever they go. I think about a postal worker one time, a man that was writing at a post office desk, and he was approached by an older fella who said, "Young man, I can't see very well. Could I ask you to please address this postcard for me?" "Oh, yes, sir. I'll be more than happy to help." "Well, while you're at it, would you mind putting this stamp on the postcard for me?" "Sure, no problem at all." "Well, one other thing. Could you maybe write the message for me on the back of the postcard?" And so the postal worker gladly took down the message that he dictated. And then the man asked, "Well, would you mind signing my name?" And the postal worker dutifully signed the older man's name. He held up the card to him and he said, "You know, is there anything else that I can do for you?" Well, the older fellow took the card and looked at it and thought for a moment. And then he ordered, "Yes, please add P.S. Please excuse the sloppy handwriting." You know, we need to look at it this way this morning. Would you rather associate with somebody that's always grumbling, always complaining, or would you rather associate with somebody that's optimistic and cheerful? Would you rather associate with somebody who routinely recites all their burdens in life, or with people who continually count their blessings? I think you know the answer. You know, when people go to a pet shop to buy a bird, they're looking for a songbird, aren't they? Maybe a finch or a parakeet or a cockatiel. I have never heard of anybody going into a pet shop asking for a buzzard. You know, nobody wants to be around a person who's always, you know, looking for the rotten in life. You see, an ungrateful person is never at peace. He's never at peace with himself. He's never at peace with other people. And so the first thing that thankfulness does, according to Paul, is it makes our relationships right. It keeps us from becoming sour and bitter and hard to get along with grumblers. Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful." But secondly today, I believe an attitude of gratitude is always good for us because it makes our attitudes attractive. Look at verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to the Lord." Now, I want you to notice first of all here that we can choose our attitudes. If we can choose to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, then we have the ability to determine what we're going to think about, what we're going to focus on, and what we're going to dwell on in life. If you look back at verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, focus your minds on things above and not on things of this earth." I have a friend who has an unusual radio in his office. He received this radio from a local radio station years ago as a part of a promotional campaign. It was free, but there was a catch. It could only pick up that specific station. In other words, his radio only had one setting. But have you ever noticed how many people go through life with that very same problem? Many people, sadly, are only tuned in to their own troubles. They're only tuned in to their own trials. It just seems like that all they can focus on are the things that are going on with me and the things that I have to deal with. But thank God that we can have more than one setting. You know, difficulties and hardships are going to come, but we can choose what we set our mind on. We can choose to set our minds on things above. We can choose to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. But notice second here, we can also choose an attitude of gratitude. You know, thankful people have a healthier perspective on life because gratitude causes us to focus on our blessings and not our burdens. Without a sense of gratitude, we can never really experience the blessing and the joy of contentment. I think about some Christian parents that were planning a shopping trip, and their four-year-old daughter had some birthday money. She had some chore money that she had saved and that she wanted to spend. Now, these are very good Christian parents, and they wanted to use this as an opportunity to teach their four-year-old daughter a good lesson on proper perspective. And so they told their daughter before they went on the shopping trip, "Now, listen, we don't need to buy everything that we see. We need to try to be thankful for what we have." Well, this little girl replied, "When I have everything I want, then I'll be thankful for what I have." Now, that really isn't an unexpected logic for a four-year-old. But you know, there's a lot of 40-year-olds today who feel the same way, don't they? And it makes them absolutely miserable. You see, when we have an attitude of gratitude, when we choose to focus on the good things, when we choose to focus on the blessings that we have, when we're truly thankful for God's goodness, it makes a world of difference. It improves our entire perspective on life. See, gratitude is an attitude that makes life great. And that leads us to the third reason that thankfulness is good for us today. And that is gratitude always makes life lovely. Look at verse 17. "Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know, this is the third verse in a row in which Paul commends thankfulness. Do you think maybe that Paul's trying to tell us something? Do you think Paul maybe here is trying to get us to understand a principle? Well, just in case you haven't got the message by now, in this verse he makes it unmistakably clear. We can always have an attitude of gratitude. And then stop and consider what a comprehensive command this is. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all. That encompasses everything. God's Word is emphatically telling us that, you know, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. Thanksgiving is a way of life. In fact, we could say that it's more than Thanksgiving. Truly and really, it must be thanks living. You see, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what happens in our lives, we can choose to be positive. No matter what curveballs may come our way, no matter what disappointments and setbacks life may throw at us, we can always choose to focus on our blessings. And of course, that reminds me of another passage of Paul, our scripture reading today, Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, today, as children of God, as children of a gracious Father who blesses us in so many ways, we know that in difficult situations that we can ask for help. In trials and difficulties and setbacks that come our way, we can ask for help. And we can be confident that our Lord is willing and able to answer prayer. But please notice carefully here how we are to make those requests. We are to make those requests to our Father with thanksgiving. Now, why is that the case? Could it be that whining, demanding, self-pitying people are tiresome, even to God? You know, self-centered prayers must weary the Lord because He knows that really blessing ungrateful people is a waste of time because they're only going to find something else to grumble about, aren't they? You know, one part of Mexico, because of a geothermal quirk, deep underground, there's a hot spring and a cold spring that can be found bubbling up side by side. And years ago, in a nearby village, the women could be seen boiling their clothes in the hot springs and then rinsing them in the cold springs. A tourist was watching this procedure and remarked to his Mexican friend, "I guess they think that old Mother Nature is really pretty generous." "Oh no, senor," the other replied, "there's much grumbling because she supplies no soap." You know, ungrateful people are just simply hard to please. Well, God wants to rescue us from the prison of such pettiness. And so He does that by commanding us to be thankful, in part because being thankful is for our own good. Being thankful is for our own benefit. And when you think about it that way, it's just another reminder of how good God is. We can even be thankful when He commands us to be thankful, because an attitude of gratitude makes our life lovely. This is the time of the year, especially in the coming couple of weeks, when we seem to be reminded of all of our blessings. But our text today teaches that for children of God, Thanksgiving is more than just a holiday, more than just a couple of days off. It's more than what people call Turkey Day. It is a way of life. It is, if you please, thanks living. And this morning, I hope that we have been reminded why being thankful, why an attitude of gratitude is good for us. Number one, it makes our relationships right. Number two, it makes our attitudes attractive. And number three, being thankful makes life lovely. Several years ago, Keith Obraski from Fridley, Minnesota, went to an ATM machine just before Thanksgiving to withdraw $20. Instead, the machine spit out $5,580. And this particular man, who was a ceiling sprayer, said, "Well, I felt like I won the lottery. I just kept scooping up the money." Well, really, when you think about it, that's a parable of your life and my life. All of us have received much more than we ever expected, much more than we've ever deserved or earned. Well, by the way, Obraski did the honest and honorable thing. He gave the money back. But we need to understand that God does not require us to return all the wonderful bounty that He gives to us, just a part of it. But He does ask for one important response in return for all the things He's done for us. All God asks is an attitude of gratitude. And so I ask you today, are you appreciative and thankful for all that God has done for you? If you are here today and you're not a Christian, are you thankful for what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand the sacrifice that He made on the cross for your sins? Surely you would be grateful enough to be willing to obey the gospel today, to come today in simple trusting faith, repenting of your sins, acknowledging the fact that He is the Son of God, and then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then live a life of thanksgiving for as long as you live here upon this earth. Or maybe today you become sidetracked, and one of the reasons for that is an unthankful heart. Maybe your attitude's not been right. Maybe you haven't been faithful to the Lord. You may have a need this morning to come as well. And so this morning, if you're subject to heaven's invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.